Chapter 21. The First Flakes. The needles clacked together along with the red yarn. I hadn't seen anybody for a month. Now, that was pretty normal. I hadn't seen anybody for 6 months when I first got here, and at that time, the lack of communication didn't bother me one bit. Now that I'd gotten the taste for human interaction again, though, it was a little more challenging. But I persevered. The outer walls went up, as did the roof. Things go fast when you could drive in a nail with a single stroke. Even the roof was pretty easy, and I remember hating having to do roofs. It was going to be a change. The living room alone was the size of 6 of my shacks. It was also going to be the only insulated room this year. I didn't have enough rice straw and cedar fiber to get every room I was planning. As for the size, I hoped to have space for my potential future kids and places for guests, so things needed to be a bit bigger. I grunted and undid the row I had been working on. The tension was too tight. The sugar maple leaf I'd gotten from the tree was carefully pressed and preserved, and I had added a second sign next to my beware of chicken one, a simple carved maple leaf, the kind that only grew in North America. I might not be there any longer, but that place had made me who I was. I'd like to think that my parents would be proud of me. They definitely would have liked Mei Ling. It was a little melancholy thinking about these things, but all it did was drive me harder to make something that would be worthy of those memories, of both sets of memories. Zhou also remembered his family fondly. Life was hard and full of work, but it was good. All I had to do was make this better. And just don't be an asshole, like Mei Mei said. Easy peasy. I kept the company of my animals. Chunky's injuries were healing well, constantly tended by both myself and Rizzo, but the scars across his face were still raw and angry-looking. While my little porkers had started pink and hairless, they were getting in a set of rust-red fur. Combined with Chunky's tusks and black mane, he looked quite fierce. Looks were deceiving, though. He was like a fat golden retriever, always bouncy and happy to follow you around. He also loved belly rubs. Peppa was more reserved, but when Big D was back in his coop and Tigger was off doing what she did, Peppa would gleefully roll over and get her own scritches. As for Big D, well, he was getting better. I'd caught him practicing his kicks earlier, but he was still pretty mopey. Man, I'd never thought I would have to deal with an angsty chicken. The other chickens, though, weren't smart. They were the same as they had been, just chickens, which was a relief. A winner without chicken soup was a bad winner. I continued my knitting. I wasn't very good, mind you, and I was slow, but I could knit. Just don't ask me for any designs. Yet. It was a hat. A nice red toque. Toques need to be red, you see, just like red barns. They're just something that is. Tigger strolled up and hopped into my lap, making herself comfortable without a care for what I was doing. Chuckling, I set down my knitting and let myself rest for a while, and lavished affection on the little stripy beast. She mewled in contentment, and soon enough she was asleep in my lap. I sighed in contentment and leaned back against my wall. And so life went on. I never did manage to get anybody around for a proper autumn color viewing. I just had too much work to do. The preparations were never-ending, and if I wasn't a cultivator, there was no possible way I could have done it alone. It was just difficult instead of flat-out impossible. A cold cellar was dug and lined with my knockoff concrete to keep some of the dampness out. I also invented a technique, a truly frightening fire-based attack that I used to surpass the will of the heavens, and by that I mean I used it to defeat rain and dry things out. By injecting chi into things and heating them up, I basically had a drying machine. It works really well for seasoning wood and to keep things from molding. Behold, gaps in my knowledge and skills were surpassed by my mystic wisdom. Truly, I am beyond all other men. I also spent a lot of time clearing leaves from places I didn't want them, and with the beginnings of the fall rainstorms, the rivers had to be cleared of fallen branches so they didn't make an unintentional dam. I kept a careful watch on the river and kept an eye on the banks to see if my house would flood if it rose, but it seemed it would be fine, barring some truly catastrophic circumstances. I also wasn't entirely alone either. The clerks had sent a merchant to pick up some more rice, so I'd sold 5 more bags of white rice. I might be being paranoid about keeping so much at home, but it was my first winter, so better safe than sorry. My second visitor was Yun Jin, who just dropped by to see if I was okay. It was rather touching that people were concerned about my well-being, and he came with some medicine from Mei Mei as a just-in-case. It was a shame that she couldn't come around, but she was busy too. Still, I appreciated everything they did for me. Sadly, after marveling at my house for a while, Yun Jin had to go too. I got back to work. If my reckoning was right, the first snows would hit us soon. It was a particularly cold day. Bidi could see his breath as he sat upon the great pillars, and Sister Rizu was curled up in his feathers to ward off the chill. Bidi's blades of moonlight carefully formed. They were still not as pure as when he first earned them, but it was a vast improvement over the ugly cracks that ran through them a few months ago. Soon, they would be holy again and not tainted filth. It was strange, he thought, that though this autumn was a time of ending, it was a time of renewal in other senses. For the land seemed to be dying. The leaves fell from the trees, creatures burrowed deep and slept, and the air turned increasingly bitter. But he could still feel the land and its comforting presence. The earth beneath him was just tired. It would sleep, and then awake refreshed. He was sure of it. As for renewal, new sprigs of heavenly herbs poked out through the ground inside the great master's new coop, protected from the cold and rain. His master's female was a sage of power, with knowledge far beyond him. She had gifted medicine to the great master, and with its potent power, Brother Chung Ki was beginning to exhibit once more flashes of thought. His eyes were brighter on most days, and he was more active, trundling around the pen happily. Sister Pipa was beside herself with joy, though she was still frightfully cross with Bidi. He bore her barbs with stoicism, and they became less and less frequent with each day that Brother Chung Ki improved. Yes, a renewal in a time of ending. That was what this was. Bidi turned his attention once more towards the spirit of the land. He bowed his head and presented his chi to it. The land gazed upon him and mulled over his tribute. Bidi waited patiently, holding himself still and ready for rejection. Slowly, almost haltingly, the land accepted his chi, pulling it into itself. That was its last act of the season. He could feel it, the soft sigh as the land finally closed its metaphorical eyes and fell into a deep slumber. Bidi's eyes opened. From the sky, great flakes of white began to fall, like the heavens coming down towards the earth.